And welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your host, Walter Duralia, joined by my host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Walter, how are you today?
Chris, I'm doing great.
I'm doing great, although, you know what? Why do you got to lie to our listeners like that? I know you got a bit of a cold, you know. It's okay.
Chris, the show must go on.
That's very true. You know,
and I'm here.
We do have a great show with us ahead of us today. We don't have any guests. I think it's the first time in I don't know how long, but
3 years,
at least 3 years. But wonderfully, our our engineer James is with us today. He's going to be chiming in every once in a while. And but you know what? Let's go right to it because today is Wednesday, and that means it's the new comic book day.
It is New Comic Day across the world. People of comic fans are rejoicing, heading into the local shops, Chris, to check out stuff that's new this week. And new this week is brought to you by Snicked Chop. Did I say that wrong? It slices, it dices, and it makes julienne fries. Adamantium blade cuts through everything and will ensure that you stop having a boring tuna, stop having a boring life. Snicked Chop. You're going to love my nuts.
You know what? It's no wonder we never, ever get paid from our sponsors. You know? This is.
I want to apologize to our sponsor and to our producer, Anthony. I am feeling a little under the weather, and I really, really did not do that well on that one. Okay, but that is our sponsor.
Let's hope that Snicked Chop ends up paying us something for what we've done for them.
Right. Anyway, let's move on to new this week. Chris, I want to talk about Daredevil number 512 coming out today.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the last Daredevil comic book, apparently.
Apparently. It's crazy, but apparently this is going to be the last one. And now, I don't really know what Marvel has for plans for after this one, but apparently they're going to reevaluate the character and see what's going to happen with
him. Well, first of all, Black Panther is taking over the reins for... This is going to be very much like, remember Thor, remember Hercules, Hulk. Sorry.
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk turned into the Incredible Hercules.
Yes.
The Daredevil basically is going to turn into
Black Panther
in that kind of Hell's Kitchen, taking care of business, all that stuff.
Yep.
Obviously, Daredevil will have a relaunch.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think they're hoping to have the same kind of success that they had with the Hulk that they're going to have. They're hoping to have with Daredevil,
right?
Where they're going to get rid of the character for a while, maybe hopefully spur on some new interest, and then relaunch it again.
You're right, because that Hulk, when that Hulk came out about a couple years ago, that Hulk number one, and then the Red Hulk and the whole storyline. That was, at a time, easily top five in terms of sales for Marvel.
For sure. And, that really reignited a lot of interest in the Hulk again because they were kind of looking at the idea of what the Hulk is all about. And that was off the reins of when it was all the planet Hulk, where Hulk was, off of the other planet and became sort of like a king of that planet. And then
World War Hulk. All ticked off. That was excellent. But now, I'm not sure how the Black Panther is going to fit into Hell's Kitchen, that whole thing.
Well, I think they'll do fine because he is enough of a Daredevil type of character. I think they probably would have done a better job with maybe like an Iron Fist kind of character. But why not bring Black Panther back into the fray and sort of try to reintroduce that character? Because really, he's such an underrated character still.
Yeah.
And why not try to promote him some more?
You just touched on something right there. Marvel, what they're doing is they're taking old established titles with old established characters,
yeah,
and they're pulling them out of those titles and throwing in, you know, like a second, I won't say second rate, but I will. I'll say
yeah,
second
like
rate
a second
character
tier
at this
character.
Time.
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
So you get that Incredible Hulk. Rather than throw Hercules in a number one,
yeah.
they throw him into an established title.
Yeah.
And give him a, I guess, a running start.
Well, they create a storyline that sort of already involves the character.
Right.
And so, yeah, like you say, they give him a running start, and they put him on a book that has a good writer and a good artist.
Right. And momentum and a good readership.
Yeah.
So they're hoping with Daredevil, same thing. The Black Panther can just step in.
Right. And there are a lot of completist comic book collectors out there who figure, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to keep on getting this comic because eventually it's going to return back to Daredevil. So it really is still sort of a Daredevil comic. So why not just
keep going with
it, right? And so hopefully it'll spur on sales.
All right. So Daredevil 512 out in your local comic shop today. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 39. Hits the stands today. And I just wanted to mention that since news of that Buffy movie we talked about last week. The franchise is still going strong. Every time Buffy does come out, it is news. I think it's still Dark Horse's number one selling comic.
You know, I'd be surprised that it'd have to be a tie between the Star Wars franchise and the Buffy franchise. I mean, I think Buffy, individual issues of Buffy probably outsell individual issues of Star Wars, but there's probably more Star Wars comics that sell on the whole.
Right. But they have like five or six titles like that. All right. So Joss Whedon is writing. It's the second last issue. So I believe number 40. They end season 8. And we talked about it before. I believe season 9 is in the works for
yes,
comic books.
Yes, so. Definitely is. And the thing with what's interesting about the Buffy series is that he for those of you who aren't too familiar, he took Joss Whedon took the TV series that he was writing, and basically when the TV series ended, he continued the series off into the comic book form. So it's still the same sort of team of writers and him doing the writing jobs on the same characters. And as we talked about before, the new movie that's coming out isn't necessarily tied in at all to the Buffy comic. It's a completely separate entity on its own. So
right, well, it'll have Buffy the Vampire Slayer as a character, but it'll have that character before Joss Whedon took over and added all these other characters that made it a darker story.
Yeah, because the original movie with Kirstie Swanson was sort of like a lighthearted, very fun teen
kind of
bopper, whereas this one was sort of like, I don't want to say darker, but I guess a darker version is probably the best way of saying it.
Buffy, the comedy, coming soon.
Yeah, so, okay, and what else we got?
All right, hey, Batman 80-Page Giant 2010. Comes out today. I know, Chris, you're a fan of Batman and the old comics. Remember those 80-page giants?
Yeah.
Those were great.
Those are awesome. Those were like those square-bound kind of issues that you would get. They would usually cost a little bit more, but man, there was so much jam-packed into them. However, you know, I hate to think about what an 80-page giant would cost today.
It's $6 US.
Yeah, oh man, $6.
It used to be a quarter,
yeah,
didn't it?
Exactly.
When you were a kid, Chris.
Back when I was a kid, yes.
But it's good now. It's like you're getting a lot. What the 80-page giant is for Batman fans, and I think this is fun because I think Batman is just so weighted down in his own mythos now.
Oh, yeah.
It's all like all this, what's his name? Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison.
All going on. Yeah. And I think here's a bunch of creators just going in there and doing a light Batman story.
Yes.
And then another guy doing a light Batman story.
Yeah, which I think there needs to be more of that to get people interested in the characters. To make it, I mean, why not make Batman fun again? Enough with the brooding already,
right.
Really.
And,
like.
And I guarantee you pick this up and you read it, and one of these stories you're going to love.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, I think Batman's a fantastic character. He is possibly the one of the greatest characters in comic books. He's definitely one of the greatest characters. I don't know if he's the greatest, but he needs a bit of a change, and which they're obviously doing right now with Batman Inc. I don't know. I think they need to just sort of cool it with the whole darkness a little bit.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Go back, bring what's his name, Adam West back.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but. All right. What, and we got anything else, or is that pretty
no,
well?
No, Chris. You know what? We're going to end it. We got to move the show along. That covers new this week.
All righty. Well, let's get some music going here. And for those of you who are from the 1980s, I'm sure you're going to remember this cartoon theme song. Oh, hold on a second. Having technical difficulties. Oh, there we go. Oh, maybe not. Wait, hold on a second here. It's coming through here. Oh, geez, you know what? Hold on a second here. There's some technical difficulties with the control panel here. So hold on a second. Hold on. Okay, let's try that again.
Yo, Joe!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe,
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe. G.I.
All right, well, that was, of course, the intro to the old G.I. Joe cartoon for those of you 80s fanatics out there. And that, of course, is going to bring us to industry news. And industry news is brought to you by Purple, the cologne for men, by the Purple Man. Are you a slack-jawed troglodyte and want to attract women? Try Purple. Its patented pheromones will take you from zero to hero.
Oh, that was a great Black Sabbath song. You guys remember Zero?
Yes, Zero the Hero. Zero the Hero, yes, absolutely.
All right, Chris, great segue into industry news.
Industry news, yes.
Industry news, and I want to talk first about something I read on comicbookdaily.com, which is the rumor du jour about the Fan Expo 2011.
I've heard this, that it's going to go to 4 days.
They're going to go to 4 days, possibly. It's just a rumor.
Possibly.
Right, and that would mean that next August, at the end of August, when Fan Expo happens, they do the Friday as a Thursday, so it opens like at 4 o'clock on a Thursday, and all the exhibitors and dealers and stuff load in
and
Wednesday night.
Friday will be a full day.
And Friday will be the full day. What do you think of this?
I think it's a great idea, because you know what? Having worked the show for a number of years and attending the show for a number of years, this last year's show, the crowds to get in were absolutely stupendous. I think is, I mean, I don't want to say horrific, but like people were waiting hours and hours to get in. There was one point where I had to leave the show early, and oh, by the way, our engineer James is pointing to himself, the saying that he had to wait for hours to get in. I had to leave the show early on the Saturday, and it took me an hour just to leave the show, like to literally walk through the building to get out of the building. So I think the best thing to do is to expand the show to more days, so give people a better chance to try to get in. If they can't make it in on the Saturday or the Friday, maybe now they can finally go on the Thursday. So I think it's a fantastic idea. Right. What do you think?
Well, no, I think you're right. I think if they do this, it'll help. Well, they've already made a move, as we discussed, I think, in an earlier show. They're moving down to that larger facility, which is the South Convention Center building in Toronto. And so that will help.
For sure.
And then going to that fourth day will just kind of alleviate a bit of the pressure, because you're still going to see a lot of people getting, rather than a three-day pass, a four-day pass.
Yes.
Right? But you will. There is always that percentage of people that are going to fit one day to go, and that this will alleviate the pressure. So you're going to see, I guess, more manageable crowds.
I hope so too.
I mean, in all honesty, I hope that the attendance keeps going up, and they're going to have crowd issues in a sense again.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And which looks like this show is happening to the show.
For sure.
But this is definitely a good move if they do this by the organization, by Hobbystar, to alleviate the problems that arose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Year. So they're being proactive.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Yeah.
But of course, it is only a rumor.
Now, do you know? Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but do you know? Is now it was held in the South building or North building?
North building this year.
This North building this year. Now, does the North building have another room that they can open up? Or have they kind of, like, because you know how they kind of have.
I think that North building was maxed out.
That was maxed out, because I think it's like four rooms or three rooms or something.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
In the old days, 5 or 6 years ago, they used to have 2/3 of that.
Yeah.
Then they outgrew it. went downstairs, and then they've knowing that they had to come back because of a scheduling conflict or something, they took all of them up there. But still, it wasn't enough.
Now, do we know – now, are the rooms downstairs, are they bigger than the rooms where they were this year?
I believe the square footage available downstairs is bigger.
Right?
Well, and more importantly, too, I think they have adjacent facilities there that are going to be much – better at taking spillover in terms of the seminars sessions, you know, question and answer sessions and stuff like that. So there'll be other, you know, rooms, I guess.
Yeah, and one of the things with the show where it was this year, the way you get to the show is you have to go up to an you go on the escalator and all of a sudden you're sort of there. Whereas at least in the other rooms, you take an escalator and then there's hallways and then eventually you get to the rooms, right? So it's not like the escalator gets jam packed necessarily.
Right.
It probably will be, but not as bad.
Right. No, but I hope the rumors are true, and I think Canada's premier comic book convention should be a four-day convention.
I agree. I completely agree.
All right. Chris, let's move on to I read this today and it was very interesting. Walking Dead.
Yes.
The fifth episode that aired last Sunday.
Yep.
It actually topped the ratings for the first episode and the second and third and the fourth.
That's fantastic.
So this is gaining steam.
That's not great.
One of those Hollywood things that come out and then second week it drops off.
Or even comic books for that matter. Yeah.
So what that means is word of mouth. I think people are going, oh man, this is fantastic. You should really read this. You should really watch this. and it's working. So their viewership is
increasing, which is sort of rare, it seems to me.
As the thing goes on. So that's great news because this thing was hyped.
Yes,
this thing was had huge publicity towards it. Big, huge publicity at the San Diego Comic Con, moving forward, they just AMC really plugged it, and it met and exceeded their expectations on the premiere, and it looks like they are building on that rather than resting on their laurels because it is. They say that 5.5 million people watched episode 5 on that first airing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Let alone, who knows how many people have downloaded it since then and watched it. And
well, you know what? The funny part is, at our store, the Walking Dead graphic novels are flying.
Are they? Yeah.
They're just going.
Now, there's 13 out right now, right?
Yeah, the 13th volume came out last week, and it was funny because somebody was shopping for a gift at our store, and they were with a friend, and the friend picked up a Walking Dead Volume 1, and the other person with them, I remember saying, well, who watches the movie then reads the book, right?
Right.
They're missing the point with Walking Dead. Picking up the graphic novels, that'll put you years ahead of what the TV series is going to be. Right? Like, I buying the first couple volumes is already going to probably put you into season 2.
Absolutely.
So that's by picking up a Walking Dead volume, you don't know what's going to happen. You haven't seen on TV.
No, of course not. No, not even close. No,
volume,
that's right. Yeah.
So, but
very cool. No, I'm very
Chris,
happy about that.
I'm going to ask because every week I do. Have you checked The Walking Dead out yet?
No, I really still haven't done that yet. Right. I've heard it's good, and everybody that I've talked to says it's great. I'm just a busy guy. I don't know what to tell
you.
You
know what? You are marking this week. You mentioned that you're marking
I'm swamped with marking this week, so. I'm trying to get all of my students' grades done and everything, so it's a lot of work. So unfortunately, I don't have time to watch Walking Dead.
You know what? That's good, because I hope you don't have time to watch this either, because you do have marking. And that is the new Wonder Woman XXX trailer.
I did, in fact, see the ad for it that was sent to me via one of my friends through an email. I have not actually seen it yet, but I've heard that the actual trailer is like AA or PG. It's not like X-rated, just the trailer.
Right. But it's the premise that's interesting. There is the trailer where I picked it up was on Bleeding Cool.
Okay,
they had the trailer up there, and here's I guess who's this targeting? Is it targeting guys our age that are fantasizing about the old Wonder Woman thing.
Yeah, well, that, and it's fantasizing fantasizing for anybody that, you know, even remotely knows anything about Wonder Woman or likes anything about comic books. So, like, this is like, you know, a dream come true for a lot of people. It's anybody that's interested in comics or anybody that's interested in Wonder Woman and, you know, getting a chance to see, because it's called the hardcore parody, right? So,
right, right.
You know, it's...
So, well, I mean, I didn't read the thing. I guess they're just going to try to, do a true Wonder Woman plot.
Yeah, the fake hardcore, you know, fake Nazis and all that kind of stuff. Right. You know, I think this is sort of riding on the coattails of, I think another adult entertainment video company did something like this. I think it was for Batman or something like that, or maybe it was Superman. I think it was Batman. And so apparently it was a hot seller. And so now another company has decided to make a Wonder Woman parody using adult film stars.
Right. Well, I would hope that the Wonder Woman one, you know, garnered more interest in Batman.
I'm sure it will.
See.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
But we're like walking on eggshells talking about this.
This is a family show.
We will leave it.
Yes.
And move on to our next item in industry news.
Christmas. All right.
Hey, Gore Verbinski. Right.
The guy that directed the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy. Right.
Him
and Johnny Depp are going to develop the Lone Ranger.
Oh, interesting.
Into a movie. And what's interesting is that Johnny Depp apparently will be playing Tonto.
What? Really?
Toto.
Oh.
No, is it Toto?
Tonto.
Tonto, right.
Toto was the little dog from Wizard of Oz. Or that really bad rock group from the 80s.
They were great. I love Toto.
But, you know, either way, it's Tonto.
Tonto.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Lone Ranger, he goes back to, remember the old theme song? How the Lone, dun, 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 is that the Lone Ranger?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Hi-oh, Silver! That's right, yeah.
Started off as first got famous as a radio show in the 30s.
Right, yes,
and then
that's right,
went to TV in the 50s, and then, went to comic books successfully in the 50s as well. And there's a good comic series right now.
Yes.
On Dynamite.
Yeah, the Cassidy one.
Right.
Yes.
And you know what? And the reason I like this story is that I am crediting comic books for propelling this project into the forefront.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, there hasn't been a whole lot of Lone Ranger stuff at
right.
all.
And what? Three years ago, Dynamite first putting out the Lone Ranger,
yep.
gets the property out.
Yep.
People are picking it up. People are reading it. It gets a little bit of buzz. Somebody somewhere notices it, and hey, you know, this is a great project.
Yep.
This is something that
for sure.
And you know what? Again, comics save the day.
I love it when comic books save the day.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
All right. So they don't have a date. I'm sure this is early in the game, but they don't have a Lone Ranger picked either.
No, oh yeah, I've heard a few names that have been sort of buzzing around, but I think people were initially thinking that it was going to be Johnny Depp that was going to be playing the Lone Ranger, and then when word got out that he was going to be Tonto, people have no idea now who's going to be playing Lone Ranger.
Right.
So
all right, well that'll be cool. We'll follow that story as it goes. All right, what else do I have? Oh, now you'd know this guy, comic fan,
perhaps, yeah,
longtime comic book artist. John D'Agostino has died.
Yes, yes.
Sadly.
He was, you know what, here's a guy, he was actually, I think he was like born in Italy, and he came over and he did a lot of comic books for a number of years. He did a lot of like I'll call it funny cartoon, like, you know, like Mighty Mouse kind of cartoons and comic books, things like that. He did a few fill-in issues for G.I. Joe and a number of other different issues, but a longtime comic book artist, sadly passed away recently, and he will definitely be missed.
Yeah. Now, I read his credits. He did a lot of inking, and he did a lot of lettering for Charlton, and he did some G.I. Joe for Marvel. And in the tail end of his career, he worked for Archie a lot.
Yes.
But what I thought was cool is that he lettered Amazing Spider-Man number 1.
Oh, you know what? I didn't know that. That's interesting. That's
so
very cool.
He was the letterer for Amazing Spider-Man number 1. And but you know what? We're getting to that age, right? I mean, we're getting to that time frame where you know, the last true big kind of golden era of creation.
Yeah.
It was like that early 60s Marvel. Yeah. And a lot of those creators now.
Now they're starting to get old.
Yeah, they're starting to get old. And one by one, they're starting, unfortunately, to drop off and stuff like that. So when you, like, we're slowly over time losing that connection to that time.
Well, it's hard to believe, but, you know, the 1960s era, that's becoming in excess of, you know, close to 50 years ago now, right?
Fantastic Four number one next year.
Yeah.
Chris, Fantastic Four number one, 50th anniversary.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so, of course, a lot of those creators, even if they were in their early 20s, that would put them at, you know, over 70 years old. So a lot of these guys, they're getting up there, unfortunately. I mean, a lot of the golden age of writers and creators of that time, right?
Right. So, now, I want to talk about a little bit about, on that note, too, the whole Marvel Disney versus the Kirby heirs is still going on.
Okay.
And the latest court thing, I guess, was on November 22nd. I'm sorry, the U.S. District Court in New York basically made a decision that really hasn't resolved it, which to me is puzzling.
Which is no decision, really.
Which is no decision.
Yeah.
So they're saying that, you know, yes and no, right? And so they're taking – this is, you know, Marvel and Disney.
Yeah.
And Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby's creations
are
so far-reaching.
Oh, yeah.
Or co-creations with Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Right? That this kind of issue, this court case, really, I don't think is getting the attention that it should in terms of its implications.
Really, I mean, they're talking about billions of dollars based on one guy's co-creations. If you think about all the movies and all the merchandise and all the comic books and that this guy helped to create – it's a lot of money that could be at stake here, so I can see why Disney's trying to keep it hush hush. But really, this is something that people should know about. I mean, here's a guy that co-created, you know, the Fantastic Four and X-Men, the Hulk, and you know, all those, you know, these icons of the Marvel universe. And now all of a sudden they're saying, well, you know, he should get something for it. And, you know, obviously there's a big court battle. But I can understand why this court battle is going on. It's going to set a precedent for future court hearings when other creators start to come around and say, hey, you know, I want my piece of the pie for stuff that I did. Like, you know, maybe Stan Lee is going to all of a sudden say, hey, where's my $500 million or whatever
it is, right? Now, the thing there, though, is – back in that time, the corporate structure, is you're a pen for hire. The company gets, you know,
Martin Goodman. Yeah,
yeah. He basically, you know, owned what you created.
Yes,
and you gladly did it because you knew.
Yeah,
it was
a job. You went in, you got paid for what you did, and then that was it. Like they already got paid for their creations at that time.
Right.
It's not like they were stolen outright.
Right.
Like they were paid to do what they did.
Right, and that's this. I guess, to me, the Kirby heirs, and I don't know all the details, so I'm going a bit out on a limb. Kirby heirs are looking. Hey, you know what? You know, I wish we want some of that money.
But I mean, you know what? Like the as an example here, like you never know how something is going to take off. As an example, when Nike created their swoosh logo, right, for all their branding, they hired a graphic design student, and they paid her something like, I don't know the exact figure, but it's something like $64, right? It's some ridiculously low amount, and of course that Nike swoosh logo has gone on to become internationally worldwide known brand.
Right.
And now since then, I think they've paid money to her or to the estate of or whatever she did. But you know, it's certainly not nearly the amount of money that she should probably have received for
well,
getting that
kind
of logo.
Not really. I mean, she just basically did an artwork that might have taken her an afternoon or a week to do, and she got compensated rightly. You know, like, hey, I ask you to, I don't know, draw me a doodle something, and I'll pay you money for it. You agree?
Yeah,
and
fair enough. Fair enough. Like, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but you know, I and this is the problem. Like, you know, this is, you know, people do they get these jobs in order to do to make money at the time, and then all of a sudden something takes off, and they're like, well, where's my piece of the pie? I don't really know. I'm undecided as to which is the fair way of to treat these things.
Right. And I think with Nike and with DC, sorry, with Nike for sure, what that is then is a public image situation,
yeah,
where she can say, oh, you know what, I gave them this gold mine and they're making,
yes,
billions,
yes,
and they, you know, they paid me $64, which I know I accepted, but you know, you'd think they'd have a little consideration.
Right,
of,
and of course, they did. They went back and
right.
treated
and
her.
See, this is what I'm
right.
saying,
yeah,
that Nike went and they did a smart PR thing and
yes.
said, hey, you know what? You really did something special for us.
Yeah.
You know, here's extra.
Yes, that's right.
That we
and
don't really owe you, but
we'll give
it to you
anyways,
right.
yes.
And so I don't know if Marvel's approached the Kirby heirs that way. I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've tried to do an out-of-court settlement.
Oh, I'm sure,
in,
yeah.
in that way. But, all right. Well, anyway. We just want it resolved, really, and we want comics to keep being published. I
guess. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Right. Oh, Chris, this is a great story. So last week, the Spider-Man musical.
Yes, I heard about this. Yeah,
what's it called again? Turn Off the Dark.
Turn Off the Dark. Yeah,
right.
Something like, well, now what's the what does it cost in order to make this thing to make this this Broadway musical go? Something like $30 million or something like
well,
that.
Well, no, the production costs were $65 million, which is like a half decent Hollywood production right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's costing them though $1 million a week to upkeep
the
show.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And so they had this last Sunday night. They had this.
It was sort of like a sneak preview.
Sneak preview.
Yeah,
where people had to pay. People had to pay their full $150
yeah,
or $100
yeah.
bucks or whatever they were
and,
paying.
Yep.
And there was all kinds of snafus. All kinds of where you know, Spider-Man, like the rope
dangling,
like
the rope, yeah, yeah,
swinging back and forth
and,
like an idiot.
And I read one comment saying that at one point some of the wires actually started hitting some of the audience members, and
yes,
and all
yes.
kinds of, you know, apparently they had all kinds of technical problems. And the intermission, which is only supposed to be like 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Yeah, it dragged on to 50.
Yeah, it was like 45 to 50 minutes long. And so the overall production, which should have only been like 2.5 hours, was closer to 3.5 to 4 hours. Like,
you know what, though? I would rather go see it at this point.
Really?
Then next July when it's all polished, right? Because you never know what the heck's going to happen.
It would probably
now.
Be a lot funnier. That's
yeah, exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Turn it. I would do this all the time. So basically, you don't tell the actors anything,
right?
Where what's going to happen, and you know, just
start dropping things on them.
Improvise,
and, yeah,
improvisation yeah. all the way. But I mean, I heard some people. They liked it,
right?
Other people complained about the you know, the little hiccups and stuff
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
but they thought it was pretty good.
Well, I've heard that overall it's not a bad production. However, I think they have said that a lot of production qualities need to be improved. That's for sure.
Well, it's the little it's the timing, and you like you say, it's where the rope goes and
yeah.
where the actors
yeah.
go and stuff like that. But well, what's great about this though is it is. Getting tremendous press. I mean, here's, you know, Comic Culture, one of the most listened to comic shows there is, and we're talking about it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so they're getting the press. I don't think this press hurts them. I think this press is kind
of for sure.
saying, oh, man, this is like all kinds of weird things are happening. They haven't got it right yet. I can't wait till they get it right.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is only going to help them because how many people I even knew that there was a Spider-Man Broadway musical out there, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, unless you're sort of in the comic book industry, unless you're in the Broadway industry, really, I can't see a whole lot of people knowing that there's this is going on. However, with this kind of publicity, people are going to say that, hey, you know what, this all happened. There's all these hiccups. Now, all of a sudden, the word's going to get around about this Spider-Man musical.
Word is going to get around.
Yes. So.
All right.
And sorry, did you have something? I was just going to. Okay. No, you did. And with that, we're going to go on to a segue here. And if the Vanilla Ice TMNT soundtrack isn't a good segue, I don't know what is.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go, 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 go.
machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is here with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the ninja turtle bass. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show what the turtles are saying.
Ninja, ninja rap. Ninja, ninja rap. Ninja, ninja rap.
Fill in the gap, drop that bass and get the ninja rap. Just feel it, if you know what I mean, give it up for the heroes in green. Just flowing, smooth with the power, kicking it up hour after hour. Cause in this life there's only one winner. You better aim quick, you can hit the center. Hit it to win it with a team of four ninja turtles that you got at the door. It's
ninja, ninja rap. Ninja, ninja rap. Ninja, ninja rap. Go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go, 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 go!
Villains, you better run and hide, because one day you might not slide. So choose your weapon, don't slip. Vanilla's in control with the flex of a mic grip. Rocking the crowd the way it should be rocked, with a Miami drop that you like a lot. You know it's hidden like a ninja turtle. When the bass kicks in, you better check the level. The power of a ninja is strong, fighting all quick until they're all gone.
Ninja, ninja rap. Ninja, ninja rap. Ninja, ninja rap. Go, 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 go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go.
Yes, Chris, go ninja, go ninja, go.
Well, come on. Yeah, I thought that was a great segue
into
our next topic, which is, you know what? I thought we could very quickly talk about the eBay, but you know what? Apparently, hold on. Well, we do have a sponsor.
I have to take Chris, you know, how many times has Anthony yelled at us?
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
And that when we go into a new topic, yes, we have to introduce the sponsor,
yes,
to the topic.
I'm sorry.
Our next segment,
yes,
is brought to you by Batwax.
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 All right.
Do you have a crime-fighting automobile and need to keep it at a constant shine? Try Batwax, guaranteed to remove bullet holes and scuff marks caused by running over criminals. Batwax, it's bat-tastic.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so pick it up at your local Batcave.
So, you know, with the TMNT song and everything, I thought I would give our listeners an update as to remember last week we talked about about the TMNT lot that Kevin Eastman was selling.
Yes,
of all
I
of
do.
His of all of his
the
stuff.
It started at 50,000.
Yeah, and it went to $50,600.
Woo!
So there were 7 bids on it, and it did not meet the reserve.
Oh,
so you know, and I still don't understand, how can you put a reserve on something and start the bidding at $50,000 and still doesn't meet it? Like, why not just make it $100,000 or whatever,
or
right?
Or make it a dollar.
Yeah, or yeah, have no reserve.
No. Or make it a reserve, but start at a dollar.
Yeah, well, there's no point in putting it at $50,000.
There's a psychology to eBay, as we all know.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously, if you remove the reserve, that's the only way you're going to luck into a couple guys going nuts over each other and upbidding themselves. But even if with a reserve, it's better to start things at a buck, because what happens is you might get 22, 25 bidders, of which 10 might be serious, as opposed to 7 that you saw there. And those other 3 may have
help. Well, then put maybe it over maybe the word will get around, or maybe there'll be like an auction highlight or something.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what could happen? But well, yeah, know. So it only rose by $600.
Wow!
For all the innumerable number of TMNT items.
Now, not that this ever happens, but do you think is it Eastman?
Yes, Kevin Eastman. Yeah.
You think he got that email afterwards? Psst, hey, I know it didn't go on eBay, but.
I'll give you
45.
45,000 yeah. for it. Yeah.
You won't have to give them their cut.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder if that happened.
Yeah, you never know.
I guarantee you though he got tons of emails explaining, because the problem there was is how many emails did he have to send out to itemize everything that he had?
Oh, you know, right? I can't imagine.
Right.
Do you have the Fugitoid toy that came out in 1982? I'm looking for that one. Can you sell it separately?
Yeah. Remember Target had those nunchucks?
I'm looking for Leonardo's Psy.
Yes. Well, obviously, he'll have another go at it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll lower it down to, like, say, 49,000.
Well, maybe. You never know.
Well, or he could lower his reserve to nothing.
To nothing. And get maybe what he actually gets. Sell something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Or, Chris,
or,
as you know, sorry, on eBay, I'm giving Mr. Eastman a tip here, is you'll get more money if you separate the stuff.
But that takes a lot of work.
Yes.
Right. A lot of work.
All right. All right, Chris. We're going to talk a little bit about, you and I discussed earlier, we're going to talk about, I think, this being December 1st.
Yes.
We can officially, safely.
Yes.
Start talking about Christmas.
Well,
or Christmas, the gift-giving
Christmas
season.
Is only 3.5 weeks away now, officially, and for those of you that want, you can now finally, you know, put your Christmas decorations up and not have to worry about being scolded by your friends and family. You can put the Christmas tree up, you can put the lights up, you know, whatever you want to do, and really nobody can say anything now that it is December as of today.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Now, it being Christmas coming up, of course, there's going to be a lot of Christmas munchkins who are going to be looking for something for themselves under the tree from Santa. And do we know what some of the hot items are going to be selling for Christmas this year? I'm sure Iron Man must be one of them, being the popular toy or popular franchise.
I think we will keep the discussion to comic-related things and comic book stores.
Oh, come on.
Yes, yes, yes. And, of course, there are a few things. Obviously, Walking Dead is going to be huge.
Right. Of course.
Walking Dead, they have, obviously, it's the graphic novels, but they have some higher-end stuff. They have, like, compendiums, whatever you call it, or like large oversized hardcovers. I believe they have a slipcase one too. So they have some good high-end Walking Dead type stuff. And they have just, you know, the graphic novels.
Yeah,
I think volume one is like $12 or $14
right,
or something
right.
like that, which would make a great stocking stuff for an office gift or something like that. So Walking Dead, definitely. Now, I don't know. I mean, at our shop, there's not enough Walking Dead. We've picked up some T-shirts.
Okay, right.
So I haven't looked around and see what other kind of products.
Well, there's not really a lot of Walking Dead merchandise out there, right? Like, you can't just go all of a sudden, you know, say, oh, I think I'll decide to go get the severed head of one of the Walking Dead zombies or something like that. But hey, you know, I thought we were going to keep this to strictly comics anyways.
Well, Walking Dead is comics.
Well, yeah, but so is Iron Man. I was saying that Iron Man merchandise, and you bit my head off because we weren't going to talk about comics, and now you're talking about
Iron Man.
Oh right, that Iron Man.
Where was I thinking? You're right, Chris. Iron Man will be a popular toy. Iron Man. You're right. Iron Man. Iron Man, because he's an established old
who. Who? Can you tell?
Iron Man.
I didn't quite get it the first time.
He's an established old Marvel superhero, and he has a lot of cool merchandise.
Absolutely.
He's got statues
absolutely.
About him and toys about him and T-shirts about him. And
there's like helmets and stuff like that.
Yeah, all kinds
get.
Of cool
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, flashlights. Lunch pails.
Yeah, that's right.
That kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Jetpacks. I don't know. What would you recommend for a comic fan or a non-comic fan that somehow pressed the wrong button and is listening to us on the radio? And you know, what the hell are these guys talking about? But if they know a comic fan on their list,
right,
where
right,
would you steer right. them?
Oh, well, you know what? I would probably steer them, if not to the statue realm. I think statues of all the different comic book characters, things like that, is always a good idea. It's a classy kind of gift. You know, you can spend – it depends on how much you want to spend, too. That's one of the problems that, you know, we always have with – when I used to – of course, used to work at a comic book store. People would come in and say, well, you know, I want to get something from my son or my daughter or my whatever. And the first thing you have to say is, well, how much do you plan on spending? Because if you're only spending $10, then really you're going to get comics or maybe a toy if you're lucky.
Right.
But yeah. if you want to spend like $100 or less, you can certainly pick up lots of nice statues or busts or things like that. And
did you ever get the one, you know, people would come in and go, yeah, I want to buy something for my boyfriend. And it's like, yeah, well, what's he like? I'm not really sure. Can you recommend something?
Well, my favorite would be when people would come in and they say, yeah, I want to get something for my boyfriend. I think he likes that character, you know, Walzon. And you're like, who? You know, the guy with like the knives out of the hands. And you're like, oh, Wolverine. Right.
Yeah, right. Now, this is a really cool time of the year, though, up at the store. You're getting phone calls now.
Right,
They're not desperation phone calls yet, but pretty interesting phone calls.
Yeah.
And you'll get phone calls saying, excuse me, do you sell, right, because they're looking for things. And we're getting, like, we get phone calls like, excuse me, do you sell rubber chickens?
Well, why not?
And we have to say no.
But
they get really tense in that last week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, right? Because the pressure's on now, right?
It's like, okay, just I'm on my way. Just package anything up you think a male in his 20s would
give
like.
Give me a box of those foam peanuts, styrofoam peanuts.
Anything. But I have a feeling like DVDs.
DVDs are always great. Yeah, right. for sure.
And like the properties like Scott Pilgrim and Iron Man and like The Losers.
Yeah.
And these were, you know, you see a thing like The Losers is.
What'd you call me? Oh, sorry.
As a good, I mean, it's a strong following, but it's a cultish type following.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, the movie may not have, you know, done Titanic numbers, but the people that are interested in The Losers would love picking up the
movie. Sure.
So it's kind of a specific
gift.
So you have to know the people that you're buying for.
You know what? Actually, now that we're talking about it, I did see, you know, if for the DC fan in your household, I saw The Ultimate Gift, and that was the book that I believe it was Big B that had it, that The 100 Years of DC Comics.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like this massive book, and it's like the history of DC and all kinds of cool artwork and you know, bits of stories and things like that. And man, if you're a DC fan out there, a Batman fan or a Superman fan, it's a phenomenal book.
Yeah,
that
you can
huge.
Barely lift it.
Yeah, it's got to weigh like 45 pounds.
Right. It's a nice item, and it's really, I don't know, I forget the price, but it's not that
expensive. It's not like it's $200 or something. It's like, you know, $60 or $80 or something like that.
That's a good that is a good gift. Now it being December now, you're already kind of cutting it close if you're going to go online with the postage and with getting stuff, especially if you're buying from the U.S. or with everything like that. But I mean, we always plug comic book stores here, we basically just encourage everybody to go in to your local comic shop and consider it when you're buying gifts for, you know, people that you know would be interested. And it's funny, this time of year you'll get comic fans that will explore their local comic shop and realize that shop carries a lot of cool different stuff.
A lot more.
They don't really notice 11 months of the year.
That's right.
Because they're zeroing in on their Walking Dead
copy,
in their latest Batman, and they're beelining it to that section of the store that they always buy out of. But come December time, they usually browse the nooks and crannies of the shop looking for something for their nephew.
Well, and a good example of that is, like, you know, for example, Big B sells art supplies, right? And so a lot of customers might not necessarily know that, and they might, because they're going to go straight to the new issues or straight to the graphic novels. And so something like art supplies is a great idea for a gift. You know, I don't mean to plug Big B, but any comic book shop,
and you're right, and there are, like, comic shops that specialize in different things. So you may get your local your books at a local shop, and they may specialize in, say, something like anime,
right?
You know, and manga,
yeah.
And but you're not an anime manga fan, but you know people that are.
That are, yeah.
And then you kind of perusing that store, you'll check out, you know, their anime, their manga, and you know, but it's a good time of year to really kind of rediscover your local comic
absolutely,
shop.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. No,
and,
I think
and pick their brain too,
right? And well, you know, sorry, I don't mean to keep on going on about this, but that's the other good thing is that your local comic book store is going to be very good at trying to guide you too, because if you go in saying, hey, you know what, my son or my daughter is a Batman fan or is a Superman fan or whatever it happens to be, and then you know, hopefully the person that works at that store will be able to say, hey, you know what, if they're that much of a fan, they may have already read this most popular Batman book, but did you know there's also this other one that's really good, and they might not have read that, so I might want to try picking that up too.
Excellent. So, again, we're not, you know, this isn't an infomercial or anything here.
No.
But it is a good time of year to just, you know, head down to your local comic book store and check out things that you normally wouldn't check out, and I think you'd be surprised at some of the cool items that these specialty shops carry all across North America. Really.
Absolutely. Well, and you made a good point about you know, if you're trying to order something, say from Amazon or anything from across the border, then you should really get on that, because time is unfortunately running out. And speaking of time is running out, let's just have another quick segue here.
He means musical segue
here, and this is of course the Hulk TV theme song. It's coming up, hold on.
Was performed by Yanni.
If we have any listeners that are still awake after that musical interlude. That was something, that's for sure. That's
just, you know what, Chris,
how long was that? 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah. Listen, and you know what? What I like about you is you knew that the show needed picking up at that moment, and you injected it with life.
That's what I do.
And you do it well.
All right. So, listen, our last segment of the show is brought to you by the Drawn Out Story Arc. If you're a DC fan, you'll love Drawn Out Story Arcs provided by DC. Go out and try to pick up one of their most recent stories today.
Good call, Chris. Yeah, they are good at Drawn Out Story Arcs.
Well, they really are. They really are.
All right, listen, this is one of my favorite segments of the month. This is where we take the previews catalog, and if you go to your local comic store, that's the book that everybody orders their comics and graphic novels and their merchandise out of. And it's always fun looking at the back of the book. It's always fun seeing some of the more unique items that
yes,
are available.
Yes. Now, because we're running out of time, what are we have invited our engineer James here to help us out with this. So we've got three.
He has stepped out from behind the glass.
We've got three different items that we thought were of note from the most recent previews catalog. Walt, did you want to go first? Or?
Sure. Okay. Since I'm holding the previews catalog,
that's a good idea.
The December 2010 previews catalog, page 388, you will find a gem. And if you probably hurry, you won't get this for Christmas, but give it for Easter. The Elvis Burning Love Mint Tin. Elvis wants to share his hunks a burning love with his tin of mints.
In the form of a tin.
In the form of a tin.
Yeah.
And apparently they freshen your breath.
Yes. And although this isn't my pick, I have to say that right underneath that, there is a tin of mustache mints right underneath that. And it, once you're done eating the mints, you can wear the mustache, apparently.
Yeah, yes. But you know what? I would go Elvis all the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right.
All right, what do you got?
Well, I think mine was on page 380, I believe, or so 390 or something like that. Yeah, here it is here. For those of you that are Stanley Kubrick fans out there, there is now a Clockwork Orange bobblehead of the character Alex, which, of course, was played by Malcolm McDowell. So now, of course, if you ever decide you want to become an anarchist or have you know, dreams of becoming an anarchist, you can always put the bobblehead of Alex on your dashboard of your car. And, you know, just sort of admire it, and he'll always be nodding with you.
Watch him bobble up and
bobble,
down.
Bobble away, yes, absolutely.
All right, James, what do you got?
Well, today I think I picked the Doctor Who sonic screwdriver, simply because if you have an ultra-locked, triple-coated secret door that you have to get open, why not use the Doctor Who sonic screwdriver?
Wow.
Well, I'm doing the sponsors. Or
wow, it's almost like they're one of our sponsors. That's the
he did better than you, Chris. We should get him to read our sponsors.
We probably should.
So, yeah, so those are just three of the gems.
Of the wonderful gems that you would find in the previews catalog.
In the previews catalog.
Every month.
You know, we encourage everybody to go in and peruse.
All right. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we are running out of time here. So quickly, we'll just say if you do have any comments or questions, you're more than welcome to place a comment on our podcast webpage at comicbookdaily.com. You just go to our podcast there, and there's a comment section. Please, you can check that out and place a comment about how you enjoyed today's show. Or if you didn't enjoy today's show, we're more than welcome to hear all of our comments or any questions. Go out and support your local comic book retailers, and have yourself a wonderful day.
See everyone next week.